Duff from Lizzie McGuire, and you're watching Disney Channel.
Hi, guys.
Hi. This is a real thing.
It is.
We are definitely doing this for real.
It's happening. You're Jackie.
I'm Jackie. You are Rebecca.
That's who I am.
That's who you are.
And this is Disney Channel Original Groupies.
This is a podcast all about Disney Channel original movies, which we know everyone loves and has watched almost all of them, and we just love them.
We love them so much. We know you guys love them too.
Like, let's be real. And everybody's watched them all.
We just want to talk about them because we've never stopped talking about them since, like, 2001, so it's fine.
Basically, we've never stopped talking about them. Rebecca and I lived together back in the olden days of 2014, and I'd say 90% of our conversation revolved around, like, a good 10 DCOMs specifically.
Yeah.
Like, we learned choreography.
We did learn choreography.
We talked a lot about, like, where are they now? Like, very obscure conversational items.
And we have to hope we're not the... Maybe we are the only ones?
We'll find out. This is just an experiment, everybody.
I think we'll find out by the end of this.
Like, if we have anybody...
If it's truly only us or not.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think we're alone. These are the movies that shaped our childhoods, and they don't get discussed in the same way that real movies do, because they aired on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
At, like, 7 p.m. on, like, a Friday premiere.
And, like, granted, a lot of them have absolutely ridiculous, impossible plot lines.
But we'll get into that.
We'll get into that, but, you know, there's something to say that, like, the child or, like, the teenage girl particularly is a consumer that matters. These
yes.
shaped us as who we are, so... These are legit people.
Yeah, we are loyal to this brand.
We are loyal. I will always vouch for the Disney Channel.
And I think it was really important that we started with a movie that kind of fit. It really represents some of the best that the Disney Channel original movie as a genre has to offer.
This is the creme de la creme, people. I think everybody is a huge fan of this movie. It's ridiculous and it's amazing. It has our girl Hilary Duff in it. It's Cadet Kelly.
It's Cadet Kelly. 2002?
2002 was the release of this. Also stars the very important DCOM star, Christy Carlson Romano.
So we should do we want to do some Where Are They Now before or after?
Yeah.
We so, get into the movie.
Well, I think after the movie would be good for Where Are We Now.
And I'm truly curious because I didn't look it up. I have no idea what Christy's up to. I have how old she is. Like,
oh my
I have
God.
No concept of her age.
Christy is leading a fabulous life.
Good.
And oh, you should only know about it.
She got married.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, she totally got married.
I definitely saw, like...
She did. You're absolutely right. There was a People feature all
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. It was the People.
All right. Is there any Disney Channel items in the news this week, I think?
I think there's a very major one.
Just fire our girl.
Which is, she's back to just being Miley.
Oh my God.
With Malibu!
I love this song.
We need to, like, figure out a way to splice it in here. We're gonna do a little snippet.
Editing skills will happen here.
I never came to the beach, I stood by the ocean.
Somehow.
It's so good.
It's okay. I know it was very controversial. So basically, we're talking about Miley Cyrus released a new song, Malibu. If you haven't listened, please listen to it. It'll enlighten you as a human being, I'd say. Like, no, is that just me? Yeah. And basically, like, she did this interview with Billboard and she was all like, oh, I'm done doing hip hop. That's not me right now. I'm going back to my roots. And that was, like, a very controversial interview.
Because it was that idea of white girls putting on other cultures, like costumes, like headdresses at Coachella.
Yeah.
And just...
And being like, I'm grown up now. Like, I'm sexy. Like, here's me twerking to prove that. Blah, blah, blah.
And then
and
when
like,
she's
that.
Done with it, she's done with it. So I get the controversy. But I also get her just exploring different...
For sure.
And even Bangers wasn't real... Like, it's hard to even call it hip-hop what it was that she was doing.
It was the weirdest fucking album I've ever listened to in my life. It was so strange. There was country... Like, you know how, like, Nelly does, like, country hip-hop? That's, like,
oh,
a
yeah.
specialty. There's that song. There's just, like... It was just so strange. Like, the album made absolutely no sense cohesively. Anyway, I'm glad to see Miley back to, like, being Miley. I totally called this would happen. When Bangers came out, I was like, everybody wait. She's going to come back to her roots. Just, like, hang in there, fans.
And the big and sign, did. The big sign was her with Liam again, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's, like,
so
a...
happy.
I know.
Oh, man. And that's what the whole song's about. It's just so cute. Everybody listen to Malibu so that we cannot be alone and being the only people listening to
it'll
this song.
Have it, because what else is going to be the song of summer? Bone Apple Tea?
I literally hate that song. I'm
Bone
sorry.
Apple Tea is. And did you see the music video?
I have not seen it because I just can't. And like, I am a pop music consumer straight up. I cannot listen to that song. It's just not good. I just don't like Katy Perry. Like, I just don't like her because I find that she only does music that, like, is like, popular at the time. It's not, like, authentic.
Yeah, and it's very, because I think a lot of people do that, but it's so much more just, she's worse at hiding it than most people.
I agree.
Anyway, the music video is just cannibal. It's just, like, everyone prepares and, like, eats her.
That's disgusting.
It's not fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm numb for that. Anyway. Okay.
But what I am im for.
NIM stands for not in the mood, people.
Is Cadet Kelly. So we open on... Okay, so structurally, they tease with the first fifth taking place in her fantastic New York lifestyle.
It's an absurd New York lifestyle. I'll have to say that, like, Hilary Duff must be really good at rhythmic gymnastics, because both in Lizzie McGuire and in this film, we see her showing her skills.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to point out that the first song, I'm a One Girl Revolution, like, was that not taken out of Legally Blonde? Like, which was released first?
Legally Blonde was released a year before, and obviously movies take more time to prepare and take longer, and I feel like something like Cadet Kelly is truly made in 6 days.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, because that one's in it, what was the other one that I noticed was in it?
Oh, that, like, song at the very end? Oh, I, like, totally wrote it down.
Oh, the one about Shining, How I Shine.
Oh, Watch Me Shine. Watch Me Shine in Legally Blonde is, like, in that scene where Elle's, like, decides that she's actually going to, like, legit do law school and, like, goes and buys an iMac and, like, stands in line in her bunny outfit. That song.
And that's kind of the same thing where it's, like, a montage of getting down to business. We see it used in this as well.
It's a copycat.
It's a real copycat. At least they didn't, like, use any Hoku. That would be stepping too far.
Such a good song, though.
Oh. So, yeah, she's doing her ribbons.
And, like, their teacher, like, we learn that she has no education. Like, she literally must be so fucking dumb.
There is a scene where she has scribbles on the math assignment, and she's like, we don't have to learn math.
Or if we do, we can do it, like, she was like, we can express it however we want. Like, so she did, like, a math test, like, via interpretive dance, and, like, that... I don't think is legal.
I will say, were you in Miss Johnston's grade 7 science class? Because I think we... Oh, no, you were in at St. Andrews. But we did interpretive dance science assignments, for sure.
Okay. So, I mean...
But that's also why, like, the St. Andrews kids were, like, considerably, I think, a bit... had less. Our shit less together than the Deer Park crowd. But we should also point out we went to high school together.
Yeah. And we went to the same university, so yeah. I think we, like, bounced out.
There's, like, definitely a theme with Toronto of just incest.
Okay. Anyway.
So her dad is, like, creepily filming her from behind the bushes while she's at school.
Also, like, number one Disney Channel movie trope. Parents are divorced, or, like, the other one is that, like, one of the parents is deceased.
Yeah.
But this one, like, parents cannot be happily married in a DCOM.
I think deceased is the realm more of the real Disney movies.
Oh.
And so, right, because there's always, like, a dead, like, Bambi or whatever. And right. So the way that DCOM doesn't step to that is it's a lot of, like, we're real, we're what the tweens... feel.
Yeah, totally.
They're, like, a very functional divorced couple, though.
It's, yeah, like, so functional. Like, they're hanging out with... So her mom, like, is dating this guy named Joe, / he tells Lizzie, or not Lizzie, what the fuck's her name, Kelly, to call him Sir.
Sir. Which is very, I think, kinky. She also often calls Brad, the object of her affection, Sir. And it's, like, weird that she calls them both Sir, and there's, like, a point made of that.
Like, I know you were have a military background and everything, but, like...
That's some Captain Von Trapp shit.
It literally is. It's super weird. Also, a point I noticed. Why does Hilary Duff, like, I think it's in her contract... She has to play the least coordinated human being alive.
Yeah, she's always really clumsy.
And just, like, always falling or, like, smashing into lockers and being like, oh. And you know how, like, Hilary Duff has that thing where she, like, has, like, a super raspy, like, she's always like, ah. Like, she's always, like, Britney Spears, like, So she's, like, always doing that, like, perplexed that the fact that she's always falling. Yeah. Always
and
falling. Get it together,
girl.
She does a lot
of the frustrated huff. She does a lot of the...
I agree. That's just, like...
I guess that's just playing to her skills.
Yeah.
She's really... I think this is, like, such a cute phase of Hillary Duff.
Oh, it's the best. It still has the highlights, like, the clip-on hairs that are, like, red and purple.
Yeah, I really liked the clip-on.
A lot of, like trying to integrate Asian fashion.
Yeah.
With, like, chopsticks in hair and, like, all that jazz. It's, like,
and we even have, like, the clearest scene of that, where the dad brings her back the jeweled shirt from Brunei.
Okay, so basically she goes to her house. Her mom's like, I'm going to marry this guy named Sir. Sir seems like a huge douchebag. And then her mom doesn't tell her that one of the conditions of her getting married to Sir is that poor Kelly has to go to a military academy and, like, leave all of her friends and lifestyle and also must, like, enroll in said military school.
That's the thing that I didn't understand, because it seems like such a clear conflict of interests. The moving upstate is bad enough.
Yeah.
Is there not a decent public school?
There must be. And, like, if the fact that Sir is so insistent on her doing this, like, red flag! You know, like, don't, maybe don't marry this man who's, like, really trying to coerce you
to
send your daughter here.
If your lifelong dream is to be the principal of your school, like,
I just, like, can't watch this. One of my points is just, her mom sucks. Yeah. Just, like, everything is just, like, they're just so shitty. Like, they're just shitty people.
Yeah, and it's very clear that, like, she takes after her dad and that she just can't have her shit together at any given time.
Yeah.
Is a real manic pixie dream tween.
Absolutely.
She's knocking over the fishbowl. She's very emotional. She's always, like, hugging and kind of, like, being very... I don't want to say spazzy, because that's, like, not a good word. But she is,
yeah.
Like, a little...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there just, like, must be some happy medium here. Like, I know you went from, like, illegal education that's only rhythmic gymnastics. Like, there has to be a happy medium between, like, that and, like, literally forced into combat.
Yeah. Well, it's also just weird that they're prepping. So much of their military scenes are, like, when you're in combat with your team, it's like, sorry, are you sending these children to war?
We see literally no education at this military school. They talk,
except
they
have military education.
Military strategy. And it's like, that doesn't seem like it'll be helpful at your desk job.
No.
Also, lol at how the first thing that Kelly says when she arrives at the school is, hello, where can I get a cafe mocha? It's like, sorry, are you 12 years of age?
That line is hilarious. And also, it's like in her head over voiceover. It's so, like, they added that in post after. They were, like, editing it. And they were like, wait, this would be great.
Yeah. Like, that's just not a thing. That's great. So she goes into, like, the barracks and she's, like, introduced to her lovely female comrades. And she meets Carla. She's, like, the super nice girl. And then she finds out that she's going to be under Captain Stone, quoted as the meanest 16-year-old in America. So now Hillary's all scared. And then this is the part that, like, bugged me. They were talking about, like, oh, Captain Stone is, like, going to date Brad. And, like, Brad's this super hot guy who's, like, blah, blah, blah. And then they're all starting, like, ew, why not me? Why can't I be with Brad? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like... Okay.
Those girls did not convince me for a second because they present as so butch, and they were all, like, sitting, you can't see right now, but they're all sitting around kind of like this, and they're being like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't. Like, that's...
So for those of you who could not see that magical pose, Walter is, / Rebecca, is, like, man-spreading.
They're just like, I'd love to
picking her
that.
Nose. Yeah, Brad's also, like, I'm just gonna say it, not hot.
In an academy full of very hot guys.
Yeah. Like, Brad's not that hot. Brad is played by the Canadian Sean Ashmore, who was in Animorphs for any other, like, 2000s fans.
I was going to say he was Iceman in X-Men.
That's, like, a more legitimate role, but, like, Animorphs, you guys.
And also they say at one point when they're mad at Kelly about something, they're like, oh, Captain Stone is gonna dismember you. That's, like, so...
Oh.
Just very extra. But also playing into so much of the, I think, phallic imagery.
A lot.
Of Cadet Kelly.
I can see that.
The rifle play.
Oh my god. Oh, man. Anyway, so Lizzie, not Lizzie, what's her name? Kelly is, like, so not down to be at the school. She's, like, purposely breaking rules. She, like, has to line up, and she, like, doesn't want to line up. And then another great quote of her complaining about this is, "We may be in military school, but we still live in a democracy."
Yeah, I like that, too.
Thank you, Kelly.
So we know there's going to be, or we hope, in a better movie, it would have led to a real Footloose situation.
Yeah.
Where she teaches everyone that it's just okay to... Yeah.
But really, in the end, this is, like, the opposite of a millennial movie. Because in all millennial movies, it's, like, about, like, showing them that you're you and just be you and blah, blah, blah. But this is actually the opposite. It's, like, a post-millennial movie where, like, she learns to fit in within the world she's been put
into. Yeah, it's very interesting how you think it's going to go in the direction of she's going to liberate them. She's so crazy. She has the rainbow flag blanket and wears bangles, and she's going to teach them all that they can...
Just accessorize. Express themselves.
Yeah, and instead, she's going to teach them all to accessorize. And instead, we have someone learning the very kind of, like, grown-up and a bit depressing and very mature lesson of, like, you're going to have to end up in the system. Just do your best to change yourself to, like, cope with it.
Yeah, it's really weird. And I feel like that's more kids' movies these days, honestly. It's more about, like, finding a way to insert yourself into, like, the society instead of, like, show everyone that
you're... Is there, like, an example? I'm not challenging you, I just truly don't know.
Like, TBH, no, I just read that in an article.
Oh! we'll link to the article on our show page.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Also, sorry, just back to Brad for one quick moment. Kelly goes, "He looks just like a rock star, and I would know because I've been this close to NSYNC." Could there be a more 2002 piece of diet? Like,
I love it. I can't. NSYNC are rock stars. And then Carla's like, "Oh, well, he's more of a Stones guy."
Yeah.
Which, but also Jennifer Stone.
Yes. Disney Channel.
So there you go.
Why are they all hitting on a 16-year-old? Other questionable items.
So we should probably talk about Christie's performance and just characterization and physicality of the role. Because I think it's a really interesting dynamic in this movie.
Totally. They, like, meet and they do not get along, like, immediately. And, like, BuzzFeed has this huge thing that they said that, like, we can tweet out.
Yeah.
That was, like, about how this is, like, a very lesbian movie and, like, they really liked each other. But I did not pick up on that at all.
I was going to say, watching it now, I could not get that reading out of my head. Because I think it's like a real dom sub thing. And all of the focus on, like, just the... there's so many shots in this movie of them with their faces half an inch from each other. And,
yeah,
like, exchanging the most intense...
That's
looks.
Fair.
And creeping up behind each other or, like, marching right up to each other.
Yeah.
And a lot of just... From Christie, I think the one place where they see, oh, she likes her, is there's a lot of, like, bemused smirking.
Yeah.
That's the closest it gets.
Yeah. That's true. Also... This is so irrelevant, but CCR is so fit. When we see her in that, like, there's a scene where they have, like, that military ball.
Yeah.
She's, like, wearing a beautiful white dress. I was like, wait, damn.
Yeah, she looks really good. And yeah. I like that her hair has, like, really nice curls, but you never really see it in the movie.
It's natural.
Also, as she tells Carla during their first morning when they have one of their first big standoffs, she says, "And tell her about the crocodile I wrestled." And that was, like...
What?
A line written by a child. Yes. I was like, I don't know what that's trying to... Okay.
Absolutely.
And then so as we mentioned, Kelly has real school because that school also has real school. And she's truly... She has been done a disservice by her education up until this point.
She's saying lines like when they're learning about guns. "I believe in gun control." I was like, you tell them, Kelly.
Yeah, I really liked that. Except I hate that, again, the message of this movie is like, oh, maybe guns are cool.
Yeah. Like, literally at the end of the movie, they're dancing. Like, the gun is like...
They fetishize the guns. It's all it's about rubbing and flipping the guns and polishing the guns.
It's really fucking weird.
It's very bizarre. Also, that whole scene where she doesn't know she's standing up in class and they're all sitting and they're sitting and she's standing. And I was like, this is me and Shul.
So true. Oh my god. And then they're like physical activities when they have to do that obstacle course before the dance. And like she has to... Why are they making children crawl under barbed wire? I feel like that is an accident waiting to happen.
The barbed wire was a real kind of like step beyond. Because the rest of this could be in the low ropes course at summer camp.
Absolutely.
And the barbed wire was very extreme. And I was like, no wonder... I don't know. No wonder, no wonder Kelly, like, has a modicum of common sense enough to be like, no, I'm 13.
It's weird how they make children crawl under barbed wire multiple times. Rude that they made her miss the dance. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Also, and rude that they made Christy's friend miss the dance to supervise her.
She was a perfectly nice lady. Just honestly rude.
There was more of a relationship between the two of them than Kelly and Stone.
Totally. Anyway, when she's going through this whole, like, barbed wire course, they keep on having to do, like, sir, yes, sir, or, like, not gonna leave a man behind. It's like, everyone in this film basically is female. Why can't we just change up the lingo here?
Again, kinky. It's a very kinky movie. And also, when I searched Cadet Kelly, one of the searches that came up, maybe this is because of my depraved search history, but I don't think so. One of the ones that came up on Google was Cadet Kelly fan fiction.
Oh, God.
So, like, clearly, this is kind of a thing. So, right, anyway, there's the big dance.
Oh, my God, and Hilary Duff, like, can't stop herself.
Well, first we should give the background of the dance before we get into that true centerpiece.
Yeah.
So there's a dance coming up, and she's like, oh, you can dance here? That's, wow, the music and the boys. And she's going to ask out Brad, but she doesn't really, but she kind of more obstructs Christy's asking her
out. That was a power move.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big power move.
That's like when you get to prison and you have to, like, do something to show that, like, you're not one to be fucked with. And I think Kelly gets
just
that.
Like that. Also, though, if I was a 16-year-old, like, trying to go out with a cute 16-year-old boy, some random little 12-year-old comes in and, like, tries to ask out Brad, I'd be like, who the fuck are you?
And it's weird that Brad, Sean Ashmore, was, like, 23 at the time.
Oh, my God.
And Cadet Kelly is, like,
literally Hilary Duff, who's approximately 5 feet tall. I can't.
So they go, she has the privilege of being able to go to the commandant?
Honestly, no idea.
It wasn't commander, but it should have been. Going to his house, and she has her room there, and she lets Carla have a dress, which is the other nice thing. It was very Veronica letting Ethel have, like, a necklace.
Oh my God, totally. Or, like, also, like, I see similarities again in Legally Blonde, where it's, like, the blonde fashionable one, like, lets the plebeians play with her
closet. It was very much like, oh, I will bestow upon you. And, of course, Carla comes from, like, oh, well, to me, this is, like, a privilege to go here, because I come from, like, not such a good life. And it's like, oh, Disney Channel, you really put people in boxes, don't you?
Yep.
So, but yeah, right. So she can't go to the dance because of this 30-minute training montage. So that sucks for all of us. It's really punishment for all of us.
It's not good at all. Oh my God. Then she finally gets to go eventually because she finishes her optical course. She, like, falls
down
a mountain.
She does. Gloria says something about how when she's in the mud, she loves to dream of the stars.
That was actually a beautiful moment. And I thought about it for a second. It did make me at ease. Like, I had a little bit less anxiety than I do in regular life.
Yeah. That's like, that's one of the moments where I realized that this movie is, like, full Bechdel all the time. Like, it's really succeeding.
It actually is.
At having so many just, like, intrapersonal female relationships.
I agree.
So, right, so she rolls down the hill.
Okay, there's this one scene. So she realizes she can go to the dance, and she is currently at the top of a mountain, and the dance is at the bottom of a mountain, and Hilary Duff being Hilary Duff has to, like, fall with the least grace possible into the dance, but, like, can't stop herself. Crashes through doors.
She's like a snowball.
She's crashes through the doors. She, like, runs. She's full of mud. She goes over to Christy Carlson Romano.
All the guys are wearing clean white suits.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
And Christy Carlson Romano is wearing this beautiful white dress. She somehow lands on top of the body of Christy and smothers her with dirt, in which Brad goes, quote, looks like somebody knows how to get down and dirty. What?
What happens at the George Washington Military Academy Welcome Back Dance stays at the George Washington Military Academy Welcome Back Dance.
That's, like, basically it. Oh, anyway.
But, so she's called into Sir's office, and she has a great line where she schools him about the military academy because he says, you need to follow the rules. And she says, well, back when you went there, people didn't understand how fragile a child's psyche could be.
I appreciate that, honestly.
I like a lot of her armchair psychiatry.
It's amazing.
She also tells Gloria while she's crawling through the mud, she's like, we need to get to the bottom of your denial.
God bless you, Chloe. Okay, so then she goes home, and then her mom tells her that her and Sir are having a baby. Okay.
She handles that very well. It's not the cliche thing of, like...
Totally. She handles it well, but I'm honestly disappointed in her mother. Not that she's, like, starting again and having a good life. Like, I'm happy about that, but just the I don't know, like, what she wanted. It was unclear what she wanted. Like, she was such a successful lawyer. She was a workaholic. She did all this stuff. And now, like, Sir is kind of weirdly coercing her to move upstate, be a stay-at-home mom, like, have his child. It's, like, a little creepy.
It is very creepy, especially because in the beginning she's like, I guess I'm going to have to learn how to cook. And you see her not know how to put on an apron. And then by the end she could, like, put on an apron so easily. And it's like, are we supposed to be happy about this?
Yeah.
Like, this is really...
It's like, what is your measure of success here?
A bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Christy tears up Hillary's blanket.
Oh my god. If someone did that to my blankie, I would literally hit a bitch.
That was really cruel and also bullying.
Yeah. That was just, like, not helpful at all. And so to get back at her, Hillary Duff, in the middle of the night, goes in to Christy's room, which is, like, adjacent to their dorms.
It's crazy that she's a student and she gets a private room.
It is crazy. Because she's, like, a troop leader. Doesn't yeah. really make sense. Anyway, and then Hillary paints her hair in rainbow fashion, which is great. And so she has to go to cadet court. Lol.
Cadet court is... I'm not sure. Please, someone who's listening to this from their bunker in a military academy, tell us if this is a thing or not.
This is a real thing. And, like, also in cadet court, like, Carla, her best friend, is her lawyer. Like, Carla's, like, making arguments in favor of... Hillary Duff, and like that does not, I feel like that's just not how it would necessarily work. Also, Hot Brad is like the judge, apparently.
Hot Brad is the judge. Hot Brad, because he loves to push.
This was mean. It was mean what he did to her.
He's like,
that was douchebag.
Captain, gotta take off the cap.
To like reveal the hair that she was so embarrassed
about. It was very cruel.
I was like, not cool, Brad. You're not hot anymore. You weren't at first, but you're definitely not hot now.
Shouldn't she try to get expelled? Like, if I was Kelly, I'd be trying to get expelled.
Yeah. But she's, like, also has this weird dynamic where she really, like, wants to fit in with Sir and, like, make him proud. And it's weird because it's, like, this is just this random dude who barely took the time to get to know you, impregnated your mother, and, like, you have this thing within you where you just really want to, like, do right by him. And I don't really understand that.
Yeah. I guess it's because she misses her dad.
Yeah. And so in order, so then now she's like, her sentence is like, she has to work at the drill team and like shine their shoes and stuff.
Which leads to another scene that I have to label as massively kinky. Where like,
what is,
she's surrounded by like leather boots. And yeah. Brad is like, here, they're standing so close to each other, and he holds the boot and spits on it while making, like, direct eye contact.
That, I will admit, was a sexual scene. I definitely
and
see
then
that.
Is, like, rubbing it and still just, like, not breaking eye contact.
Yeah. Anyway. So, this is, like, another trope in all of Disney Channel movies. She finds out there's going to be a regional performance. I feel like in everything there has to be a performance, like not a complete movie without some sort of final performance, be it of The Athletic or Art Variety.
Right.
And this combines the two.
Almost always the two varieties. And this does have both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to regionals. She pretty much has to learn to love guns. Like, that's the whole...
And then this is, like, when they played that song, Let Me Shine, or Watch Me Shine, when
she's going to try to get on the team. I have to ask you, I found the scenes of them performing with the guns so boring.
Not good choreo.
No.
Like, compared to other Disney Channel movies out there with genuinely amazing choreography, like, Kenny Ortega of High School Musical, like, worked with Michael Jackson, like...
He directed Dirty Dancing, I think.
Choreographed it. He is just, like, they have such high talent out there, and maybe that's, like, a later 2010s kind of thing, but, like, it was not impressive, and I'm sure they could have found better dancers, done cooler shit with the guns.
And because the guns are so percussive, it could have been, like, drumline, you know? Like, or, like, stuff with batons. I don't know. It could have been way more interesting. The gun stuff was really boring, and you have to think, when they're playing the music as they do it, the music's just, like, not in the world of the movie, right?
Yeah.
It's just for us. So think about being in an empty gymnasium with people, like, slapping guns.
It'd be so boring. Oh, my God. And so then they're preparing for this, and then there's that scene where Hillary and Chrissy get into the dance battle in the courtyard, and Brad's like, I'd like to see more of that. And it's like they're trying to combine like you know, in 2000s fashion. They're trying to, like, combine hip-hop. Like,
right, they're having a bit of a hip-hop dance-off.
It's the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
It's in the middle of, like, a plain field.
In Ontario. Like, yeah. Literally, like, this movie was shot in Ontario.
And they're just, like, stepping to each other with this, like, bad dancing.
But, like, incorporating, like, the odd body roll.
Right. And at one point, you know, Stone lets her guard down and, like, does, like, a wacky dance.
It's too good. Like, we were honestly treated in that scene.
We also skipped over a scene where, a second scene where she's polishing boots, and she goes up to him with a boot. Sorry that I'm focusing on all the wrong things.
I forgot about this scene.
And she says, "Can I borrow some spit, sir? I promise to pay you back."
Oh my god. Like, that was ridiculous. I can only imagine, like, Hilary Duff reading these lines, like, with her mother.
To someone 10 years her senior.
Yeah, and just being like, oh, sounds, I wonder what that means.
Yeah,
little
truly.
Hilary. Actually, she was probably, like, fully dating. Which of the Madden brothers was she dating?
I think Joel.
Joel Madden. She dated, he's, like, she was 16, I think. He was, like, 29. It was fucked up. So she knew what she was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we also forgot to say, like, so they lost their first big match, and she made it into the team.
Right.
And they're dancing, they're doing their dance-off. And then, oh, and it's to, like, a Macy Gray song, which... Sure. And at one point, I, like, noticed, because I noticed it was Macy Gray, and one of the lyrics is, "I try to walk away, I choke and I stumble." And I'm like, do you put that line in all of your songs? Because that's
what you said that I was saying. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess so. I don't know.
Step it up, Macy Gray, if you're listening.
Macy, you're recycling your shit.
We will not have this. Anyway.
And then Dad comes to visit. Not Sir, but Dad. So Dad and Sir are in a room together. At this point, her mom's so pregnant, so it's been, like, a school year.
It's been a time, mm-hmm. for sure. Which makes sense. Like, I appreciate that they would have time to rehearse and get their act together.
Yeah. He says something about how he's there to shoot something for Rock Climbing Today magazine. So he's going to be, like, down in the canyon or something.
And he's going to watch their performance.
So he'll be there in time for regionals.
Hilary is stoked about this. Also... I think that you would appreciate this scene. There's one scene where Hilary is back now in class, and they're learning about military strategy, and they're learning about, like, advancing in the rear, and then Cadet Kelly asks, "So advance into the rear is a good thing?" And then the teacher says, "In this case, excellent."
Okay, so I have to ask, who were the screenwriters for this, and did they know what they were doing?
Oh my gosh. They just, I think they did. They were,
for sure.
Honestly, if I was a DCOM writer, I would just try and, like, fuck with my job as much as possible.
Yeah, much like Cadet Kelly in the military academy, you learn how to kind of express yourself to the extent that you can while following the rules.
Nicely said.
So, it's regionals. She has her cell phone in her pocket. Her dad's not there.
It's also a cute as hell cell phone.
Like, yeah, it has charms. I miss
it. So one of those, like, charms. Nokia ones that's, like, super small. That's, like, back in the day when, like, the smallest technology was, like...
Like a little chunky little box.
But it was also, like, you wanted small as possible. Like, that
was it flip phone or no?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just, like, picturing it in my head as one of those Nokia ones with, like, a bedazzled charm at the end of it. Anyway, he calls her and he's, like... But they can't get in touch.
Right, so she realizes she has to leave her... team behind to rescue her dad.
And obviously everyone in her team is rude.
They're very rude about it. They're very salty about it.
Yeah.
Christy says, "Once a maggot, always a maggot."
Ugh.
And also a lot of just people calling each other maggot. Like, that's...
It's like...
We're past that.
They're just... Because I guess it's like a military thing. They're just so into power rankings and, like,
and just
seniority.
Aggression.
Yeah, it's a very testosterone-filled environment.
So, Sir learns a true lesson about family and lets her go. They drive to the mountain. Clearly, they know the exact spot.
But they... Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought about that. Like, they know her dad's out there shooting on some mountain somewhere.
Fully, like, a national park. It's like, oh, we know the spot.
And then they drive up to it. Hilary sees her dad, like, this is very dark.
Yeah.
He's lying on rocks, like, unconscious. Pretty very in. Well might be dead. And I was like, okay, we really took a turn there from the phallic gun dance to death.
Yeah, we thought the highest stakes was going to be regionals, but it's your father might die.
It's not. So she tries to save him. And Joe's just, Sir is just like, yeah, like, whatever, you, like, he doesn't try to volunteer himself. He just lets 5'1" Hilary Duff.
Well, no, she has a line about how he's too big and she's small enough.
I didn't catch that line.
Also, it's obviously very tidily done, because at the beginning she couldn't go to the dance because she was scared of repelling,
right?
And now she can repel.
It's a character arc right here.
Yeah.
Like, she was afraid of heights and now she's no longer afraid of
any
heights.
Any aspiring screenwriters out there, like, that is, that's as good as it gets.
Free advice from us. There you go. You wanted it, you got it.
What's your character afraid of? And what would they, for whom would they overcome? So she's down the mountain, they have to, she saves him, the police come, I think, right? And they get back to safety. He's on a stretcher,
yeah,
so I guess not the police.
He's fine, and he, like, smiles at her.
And she gets back in time for the final dance, which, with her and Christy.
Yeah.
So, this number, this is where we're going to bring in, hopefully, a recurring feature, which is analysis of
the musical number.
Right.
As we know, Disney Channel's The Musical Number is the star, like, the main star of every single production put on by this network.
Everything else, the whole story, it's kind of, no, I won't, but it's, the whole story is an excuse for a musical number.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And it was, in my opinion, average.
Really average, and there was some weird editing to make up for the fact that I think it was a really boring number.
Totally.
So they had this crazy choppy editing.
And they were, like, staring into their parents' eyes the entire time while dancing with the guns. Like, literally the entire... It was just, like, weird.
Super weird.
It just gave me, like, weird vibes. I was not really a huge fan of this number. It definitely could have been
better.
And
I also think in the world of, like, Dirty Dancing or any number of things, logic, like, the duet with someone, the final is, like, a metaphor for, like, reaching them at their level and, like, probably having sex.
Yeah.
This was that. But also while making eye contact with their parents.
And then, yeah, and then, like, Cadet Kelly and Stone, Captain Stone, are chosen for this duet portion.
Well, it's because Brad saw them and was like, oh,
you
need to do that again.
It's just like,
wow.
Why would they pick Kelly? Like, she's a little maggot.
But
I just don't get it.
The one thing that made this whole thing worth it was when they pulled out the ribbon.
Oh my gosh.
Again, like the rappelling, that is some tidy, great screenwriting.
It's amazing. And you know what I will say about this? I actually can appreciate that this is
ribbon work. Fine ribbon work.
Absolutely every day. But what I was gonna say is I appreciate that I find in this movie it is one of those stories that's like being girly and being super feminine does not diminish your ability to solve problems, be a smart person, and, like, help out your friends.
Yeah, and be brave and be, like, macho.
Yeah.
Like, it's all of that at once. It's a really weird mix.
Yeah, and so she does tone it down, but she still is, like, who... She's genuine, and it's not... They never tried to, like, to make that seem like that was her issue.
No.
Like, they let her keep that part of her personality the whole movie, and I appreciate it.
So, even though the one thing I don't like is that this movie ends up being weirdly very pro-indoctrinating children into, like, a military way of life and thinking, there is this element, which I think is nice.
I think it's definitely
a little
positive.
Touch.
Yeah. And so, then after, the dance, like, goes well.
Yeah, and then they announce the finals. And bear in mind, this is very important to Sir, because they haven't, the best that the school has ever done was bronze when he was on the team 30 years ago. So will they be bronze?
Oh.
Obviously, yes. And they get that out of the way really quickly.
and then Captain Stern is like, you should be the platoon leader. And it's like, okay, people, I know she's good at ribbon dancing, but I don't think Kelly is qualified to be a platoon leader.
And also that's really shady to, like, the girls who have been at that school for more than 1 year.
It's definitely, yeah, not
and she
a
has
cool
a lot
move.
Of strengths, yeah, but I don't think discipline is one. She should be chosen to, like, lead, like, arts and crafts at the school or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so everything gets resolved after they win second place because she tells her she could be the platoon leader.
And they name it second. Did they, like, say who won? Like,
yeah,
they say it in the reverse order.
Which, I don't know, that's a little tip, that's a bad, very bad screen.
Free advice.
And she also says that she is not Christy is going to Europe, so she's not going to be back in school, which means no competition in the future for Brad. Very upsetting that no one kisses.
I thought about this, like, the main part of a Disney movie, you gotta get the guy in the end. She gets no guy.
The two things are the musical number and getting the guy.
There's no guy.
So they kind of hint at it because she'll be out of her hair, so it'll just, she'll have no competition for him next year.
Yeah, but it's like still...
They don't even like talk after, I don't think.
No, it's just, it's like a weird resolution at the end. But anyway, her and Sir finally have the hug.
And so she taught him to hug. And her closing, it goes back to... So this whole time it was her autobiography assignment from the opening shot. And I do like how... I don't know if you noticed that she pronounces memoirs. Memoirs. It's Hillary's voice and it's like, and I guess I finally did find out a way to write about all my memoirs.
Oh, man, she would.
So that's, she learned a lesson,
yeah.
I guess. Oh, and there was a subplot where Carla was bitter that, like, Hillary had another best friend.
And it's like, dude, you met her approx 7 months ago. Anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is there anything else to cover from the movie?
No, that's, like, the entire plot. We can definitely, well, I say, let's do a Where Are They Now?
Yeah, I think we should do a Where Are They Now. So fill me in, because I'm dying to know.
Girl, I've got you with the details. Where are you now that I need you? Okay. Christy Carlson Romano, CCR. Okay, fun fact. Did you know that she was... Okay, so she was Kim Possible.
Yeah. Right? And Sir was...
Right,
the dad
in Kim Possible, which I love that. Like, so good to be working together again.
Yeah.
CCR was fully nominated for an Emmy for being Kim Possible.
Wait, really?
Yeah, which is, like, exceptional.
Okay, but also, who beat her?
I don't know, but I can, like, look into that for you. I can do Google.
Nice. Kim Possible's great.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, because they made a couple Disney Channel
movies. We will get to it, 100%.
So, okay, so Emmy nominee Christy Carlson.
Then she went on to do some Broadway.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
She was in
Beauty and the Beast, Avenue Q, White's Lies. Like, she directed a movie that starred YouTube personality Todrick Hall. Lol.
Todrick Hall is also now apparently a legitimate Broadway performer.
Oh, good for him. He's a very talented man.
Well, yeah, I guess, and you know, he's really been working at it for a while.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, she published a novel. She just had a kid.
Cute.
She's killing it. Oh, also, I was reading things about CCR. She keeps, like, posting on Instagram all this great stuff about, like, unrealistic body expectations before, after, and during pregnancy.
Oh, that's really useful.
Yeah, being like, I had a kid a week ago. Like, I don't look that great. And I was like, I appreciate this.
Yeah.
CCR, thank you. Okay, obviously Hilary Duff, we know, is, like, still killing it as world's most amazing woman.
Yeah.
Minus that little issue she had over, like, Halloween where she dressed as a pilgrim.
That was pretty shady. So the pilgrim wouldn't have been a problem if her husband, boyfriend, who is it, whatever it is...
I don't even know.
...wasn't full stereotype, like, Indian.
Yeah, not even, like, indigenous, like...
Like, Indian 1950s, conception. Headdress, face paint.
So that wasn't great. That was a low point for our Hill. But
also, when she tried to release new music, that was a pretty low point.
Yeah, and like I was really, we were together listening to it. We were like really ready to get behind it, and it just didn't deliver. Off, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
So what's Sean doing?
So we said Sean was an X-Men. Oh, he has a wife who's pregnant, and when I Googled him, an article came up that he just bought an $1.9 million house in LA. Good for him.
Wow, well,
if we're in that was in Toronto, $1.9 million home would be like a shack on the side of the road.
Like, that's like fully.
It's like not that. It's just like it's obviously incredibly impressive. That's a lot of money, but like in Toronto terms, it's like not.
Well, I'm
that
sure enough. In LA it's crazy too. Also, that's $1.9 USD. That's like 2.4 here or something.
Good point. So like a house in like not quite Forest Hill, like. Not quite, like, Young and Egg. Like,
it's a really rough time.
North York.
Yep.
Gets you some North York.
Hey, I'm
reppin'.
North York, yeah.
Reppin'. Okay, Andrea Lewis, who plays
the mom?
No, that's Carla.
Oh, right.
She's also Canadian. So everyone in this movie is Canadian because they shot in middle of nowhere, Ontario.
Right, she looked familiar. I have to imagine I've seen
her. She was in Degrassi.
Okay.
And she was also in that competitor. Nickelodeon. Remember when they tried to start, like, that, they did a musical starring Victoria Justice, which never took off, called Spectacular? She was in that.
I do also want to point out, just because we should let people be aware, that we don't have, or maybe now they do, but when we were growing up, we didn't have Disney Channel proper in Canada, so yeah. All of these would air on Family Channel, which would have a mix of kind of Canadian-made shows like Radio Free Roscoe.
Literally the best show on earth.
Disney Channel shows, some Nick shows, and then some shows that were crossover like Life with Derek, which were produced for and aired for a while on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
They were like crossover hits.
Oh my god, I was so proud of Life with Derek when they made it onto the Disney Channel, because yeah. Originally it was just a Family Channel show.
Yeah, most of our Family Channel shows don't really do that well south of the border.
Yeah, and I was so proud of them. Family Channel, the bomb. Except for now, if you have a regular cable package, did you know that you don't get Family Channel? You have to pay premium for it?
What?
I know.
It's a basic children's channel.
I know,
It's one of the big three.
I noticed because when I was at my parents' house on TV, because I don't have TV in my apartment, like I was scrolling through the channels, tried to watch Family. We don't get it anymore. What am I supposed to watch?
Yeah. TVO?
Ugh.
Come on.
Please. Okay, the mom.
Is it raining out?
It is raining.
Okay, because I just hear it through the headphones, and it's this is a peek behind the curtain of podcast magic.
It just started raining.
It sounds like, yeah.
Anyway. So the mom.
Which you should say who she is.
Okay, her name is Linda Cash, and she's from Peterborough. And so she's been in Fargo. She plays Stella. But more importantly, the mom of Cadet Kelly, drum roll, ladies and gentlemen, was the face of Philadelphia cream cheese.
She's the angel!
She was the angel.
She was surrounded by hot angel manservants, shirtless, feeding her Philadelphia cream cheese.
I could not think of a better source of employment, like, at all. Like, it's just amazing. She was, that is our childhood, those Philly commercials.
At that point, do you think you get something like a lifetime supply of Philadelphia cream cheese?
You better.
We should ask her.
I'll tweet at her. I don't know if she has Twitter, but I will. All right. Well, that leads into our Twitter, I think. I think you just definitely follow us on Twitter at DCOM Groupies, by the way. We set up an account. It's going to be real good.
DCOM is DCOM.
Yeah.
Y'all could have figured that out. Definitely didn't need to say it. Do we want to give the episode, the movie a ranking?
Do we
have a ranking system?
We don't yet.
Did we figure that
totally
out?
Probably come up with one.
What's...
Could be unique to every movie, like this one. Could be penis-shaped guns.
Okay, boots. I like that.
Or like spits on the boots. I think that this movie is great for a lot of reasons, but shitty for a lot of other reasons. Like, great because it's so big to our childhood. Like, it has big players, like Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
But, like...
And Hillary and Christy are, like, the ultimate. It's the blonde and brunette. It's the stern one and the clumsy one.
Yeah.
It's the, like, big sister and, like, I guess Lizzie's also a big sister, but...
Yeah, she's, like, the little one in this, in terms of this movie.
And just, like, physically so little.
Literally a small person.
So small.
I think, it definitely lost points at the poor final performance. Like, mm-hmm. I have high standards, and
the fact that that routine got second place, it's, like, I can't imagine. I'm very happy we didn't have to sit through all the routines, because, like...
Thank
God. I don't think so.
Yeah, please.
So, I guess we'd each come up with our own out of 5. What do you think?
I am going to give this a solid... 3.5 spits on a boot to shine them out of 5.
Okay. And I'm thinking of, I like that, the morals of it, like, aren't easy or clear.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, what it's saying about the military or about, like, girlhood or about divorced parents and new... Like, it's so murky in so many ways, in a way that's good and bad. I agree it doesn't deliver on all of those tedious... gun drill numbers, but I think it's a really fun showcase for Hillary to do a slightly different character.
Totally.
And just putting her, like, in a fun different element.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super grateful for it. I think, is this the only Hillary Duff
she's
DCOM?
In? I think so.
So for that, like, that counts for something. So I think I'm going to give it, based on in her opening, in her first scene in the barracks, where she's like, what's a Brad? Because I guess everyone at New York art school, all the boys are named, like, Joaquin or something. So I think I'm going to give it 4 Brads out of 5.
4 out of 5 Brads. Yeah, I respect that opinion. I agree. It's good character, like, play for her. Has some highlights.
Yeah.
I'm a better person
because... She has those pink highlights at the beginning.
She literally has highlights. Amazing. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this was super fun.
I had fun, and I love an excuse to watch a Disney Channel original movie.
I think this is the best thing we've ever come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Oh, right. Here's what I brought. So hang tight. Talk. Vamp for a bit. You don't have to vamp for a bit. I'll be back in 1 second.
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay. So... on, like, the subway on my way over, I picked up, like, one of these free, like, 24-hour newspapers, and I decided to read our horoscopes. You're a Libra?
I am a Virgo.
You're a Virgo. I get those ones confused.
That's okay.
Okay, so let's see Virgo. Oh, this one's not really relevant at all. Oh, yeah. You can make great progress despite logistical barriers. Action now provides tangible results.
Oh.
So that last part, I think, really... applies to us starting the podcast in episode one. And the first part about making a mess and cleaning up applies to Cadet Kelly.
Yeah, totally.
And then mine was make plans to forward a dream project.
Oh my gosh.
Envision,
God,
imagine,
is that you?
And make sketches. What? consider the logical steps required to proceed. Fortune smiles on your actions. So I think fortune's smiling on us. And I just saw that this is a newspaper from yesterday. So it's not actually today's horoscope.
But it is now.
All right.
Cool.
You're Virgo. But you're like almost cusp, right?
I'm on the cusp.
So that's okay.
Yeah. And I feel like I am. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Cool.
All right.
Well, this was great. Please listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Please follow us at Decom Groupies or email us at decomgroupies@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's our email. I think that's what we should start
a Facebook page so people could like discuss. We could put up our movie this week, discuss.
Oh my gosh, we totally should.
That's gonna be, by the time you hear this, that's gonna be there.
And if you guys have any ideas, please tweet at us.
Yeah, please let us know.
I will definitely tweet back.
Oh, we didn't know who'd you rather, but it's so gross in this movie because two of them are dead.
I don't really want to bang any of these guys.
No.
Not even Brad.
Uh-uh.
No shame. Okay, cool.
All right.
Well, we will see you guys on the next episode.
All right.